Good morning, everyone. My name is Shadima, also known as the Type A Hippie. And this is the Type A Hippie podcast, or the Cheatcast episode 5. And today we're going to talk about this idea of podium of privilege. Or privilege, as most people know it. It's not a new concept, but it's started to garner a lot more traction, if you will. So I wrote a piece on my blog, and the web address is www.thetypeahippie.com/podium-of-privilege. What is this podium of privilege? One of the most poignant experiences I've had in recent times is the training I did at Safe House Center, a nonprofit that provides free resources and support to survivors of sexual assault and domestic violence. The training was led by Dr. Paul Leighton. He has a PhD and he's a professor in the Sociology, Anthropology, and Criminology Department at Eastern Michigan University in Ypsilanti, Michigan. He led a talk on privilege, which is defined as a special right, advantage, or immunity granted or available only to a particular person or group of people. We discussed various types of privilege: social class privilege, white privilege, heterosexual privilege or heteronormativity, male privilege, body privilege, Christian privilege, cisgender privilege, non-mental illness privilege. The discussion surrounding all of these forms of privilege and what impact these types of privilege would have on survivors of domestic violence and or sexual assault, along with why we as volunteers need to be aware of these types of privilege, was one that all who are breathing should discuss. It humbled me then, and as I think of the concept of podium of privilege, it makes me think about the discussions I had during the training, along with ongoing conversations I've continued to have since then. Sometimes at events, when someone steps to the podium, people start to quiet down to hear what the speaker has to say. The microphone is attached to amplify the message so that everyone in the room is able to hear said message. Whatever words are being used, it is the orator, the one who has commanded the room, so that all eyes in the audience are on the one that is at the mic. What I found more and more in the last few weeks is that many people are unable or unwilling to move from their podium of privilege or step up to it, to speak out against that which many of us claim we're against. When we realize there are no others, no us versus them, but that the reality is I am you and you are me, we have the potential to move forward together. Personally, I realized there was more I could do and that I had not been using my own podium of privilege appropriately when the Pulse shooting occurred this summer in Orlando, Florida. It rocked my heart and soul and made me realize I could use my Christian, cisgender, hetero, able-bodied, free of mental illness, average size, and educated privilege more for the LGBTQI community, and so I did. That's why we have privileged friends, not for ourselves, but for others. I don't speak for anyone yet. I'm able to speak up for others. Sadly, with privilege, the one that is a member of one or more marginalized or disenfranchised groups is often the one minimized, spoken over, or otherwise ignored and othered. And it's lonely to be other. We need to talk about social exclusion and do something to end it. Another thing I've noticed recently is the notion of identity politics, which is a great way to add to the divisiveness and convolute the issues and be defensive. It's what usually happens when people that have all or most of the privilege don't want to talk about something. It is my belief that the underbelly of cancer, racism, embedded in this country is finally coming to the forefront. We can continue to sit back and remain blind, tossing out phrases which are harmful, like identity politics, or we can have one conversation at a time and have love multiply through the land. The choice is ours. So what are you doing with this, friends? With your privilege, with my privilege, what are we doing with this? Which is not either of our faults, but what we do with the privilege is. A simple Google search can yield a whole afternoon of educational reading. We can look up all of the privileges mentioned in this article on institutional racism, racial reconciliation, diversity, marginalized groups, microaggressions, LGBTQ, mental illness, and race. The list of learning at our fingertips is endless. I've listened to three amazing podcasts by the Liturgist podcast. All have a backdrop of faith, church, and ministry. One is about LGBTQ community, another is one on gender, womanhood, and finally one of the best ones on race entitled Black and White. Another goldmine of information can be found on Austin Channing Brown's website. She has a list of resources, a library, and some products that can help with having difficult conversations. Enjoy, friends. There's a lot of good information for you. I started this hashtag recently, hashtag Hope Rising, and I feel the hope. Do you? So privilege, this idea of privilege, like I mentioned in this article, I realize that I have privilege and that I haven't always been using it to speak up for, on behalf of, others. People that are slightly different than me, but that I realize are me. We talked about Teach Only Love last week, and so I want to kind of get a little bit deeper into, and then we'll tie it all back into privilege. So here are the 12 principles of attitudinal healing. Number one, the essence of our being is love. Love is eternal, so death need not be viewed fearfully. More on that later. Number two, health is inner peace. Healing is letting go of fear. To make changing the body our goal is to fail to recognize that our single goal is peace of mind. And so last week we talked about trauma, and I believe fear resides in the body as well as trauma. And so releasing that which no longer serves us is beneficial. Letting go of fear because it no longer serves us is beneficial. I can say F everything and run, or I can say face everything and recover. When I release fear, I am in a better place to make decisions and live my life and connect with you. I notice that there's this idea of abundance and lack. When I operate from a place of lack, I feel like there's not enough for me. And I fear that what I have is going to be taken from me. I'm going to lose what I have, or that I'm not going to gain what I think I deserve. Both are places in which fear is running my life. If I believe of in abundance, then there is enough for everyone. Everyone can thrive. There aren't limited resources. It's like in my doTERRA business. I can get discouraged because I haven't hit the next rank and think that, oh, there's already all these diamonds and blue diamonds and presidential diamonds. And so me sitting here at Elite trying to push for a premier there's not enough space for me to do that when that's completely false. There is. I just perhaps need to work differently. Number three, giving and receiving are the same. When our attention is on giving and joining with others, fear is removed and we accept healing for ourselves. So for the last almost 10 years, my life has been built on service work. That's been drilled into my head early on that I get to be of service to others. And oftentimes when I am of service to you, I am no longer thinking about me and my needs. I don't mean in terms of self-care. I mean in terms of the selfishness and self-centeredness that often is rooted in my psyche that I'm working on releasing more and more each day. So then I start to allow fear to go. I accept healing for myself and others, and I'm in a better place to be of service and pack into the stream of life instead of take. Number four, we can let go of the past and the future. We experience inner peace when we let go of our attachments to the painful past and the fearful future and learn to live in the present. Yes, the present is where the power is, where source is, where love is. When I think about the future, and when I have one leg in the future and one leg in the past, I am pissing, pardon the expression, all over the present today. So while I know that some of what we talk about requires us to go backwards to go forwards, it requires us to have a foundational knowledge and understanding of history, of actual real history. So I'm not suggesting do not do your homework. Please, by all means, do your homework. What I am suggesting is that I can't afford to live there. Foundationally, yes. It's important to have the foundation of the past. And I also recognize I can do nothing about the past. However, if I don't go to the past, I'm bound to repeat it. So it's important and incredibly necessary to go backwards to go forwards. Number five, now is the only time there is. True. The future is not guaranteed. The past has already happened. This is where the power is. This is where change can happen. Pain, grief, depression, guilt, and other forms of fear disappear when the mind is focused in loving peace in this moment. Or in loving peace on this instant. I like my version better, in this moment. Now again, I'm not suggesting that depression, anxiety, schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, or any other mental illness can just disappear when the mind is focused on loving peace in this instant. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not anyone with credentials to treat people with mental illness. I have had patients with mental illness. I work with clients with mental illness. But I'm not a provider. It would be irresponsible for me to suggest that focusing on loving peace is it all. It's definitely part of the solution amongst other things. So I just want to be crystal clear about that, friends. Number six, we learn to love ourselves and others by forgiving rather than judging. Forgiveness is the way to true health and happiness. When we choose to see everyone as a teacher of forgiveness, each moment gives us an opportunity for happiness, peace, and love. I love this. I forgive for myself, not for you. I forgive so that I'm no longer bound to you. You may continue to be a monkey and act like a not great human being. That is not on me. I forgive to be released and to let go and no longer be bound. That's why I forgive. because then I'm better able to float into happiness, peace, and love, which is where I choose to reside, rather than anger, frustration, resentment. I have a friend, well, in a manner of speaking, and we work together. So, and not in my day job, we work on a special project together. And so I was talking to my business partner, not the friend, and he asked, when was the last time you spoke with so-and-so? And I said, it's been a long time. I still have a drafted email about the last time there was a big blowout. And that was sometime, I believe, in June 2015, perhaps. And I called to see how he was doing. After that big blowout, instead of a proper apology, he sent me a smiley face emoji, because that's the way he does it. My business partner and I apologized for the chaos and confusion in our part in it, and this third gentleman did not. Do you think I'm still hanging on to that? No. I was actually surprised my business partner brought it up, but for him, it's important that there's harmony. And so I reached out to my colleague in that arena and left him a voicemail. Now, the ball is in his court. I have since forgiven him, and I told him that I believe he owes me an apology. I'm not holding my breath. Thank God I haven't been holding my breath. I would have been gone a long time ago. It's okay. If he still continues to maintain that he's right, I'm okay with that. It was important for me to say something, though, so that I could allow him the dignity of having his own experience and participate in the conversation, because he did not know, or he may not have known. And so I can't base anything based on someone who may or may not have known my feelings. And so it was important for me to let him know my feelings, even though I've since moved on. Number 7, we can become love finders rather than fault finders. Regardless of what another person's behavior might be, we can always choose to see only the light of love in that person. So there's a book that I love, and it says in there, there's a little bit of good in the worst of us, and there's a little bit of bad in the best of us. And I love that idea, because when there's someone that I'm seeking to impress, I may be under the delusion or illusion that there's nothing bad about this person. Intellectually, I may know different. But I might be stuck on that. And if there's someone I do not love, human sandpaper, if you will, I might find that there is nothing, I find nothing good about them. So it's important for me to see or be able to distill the light of love in each person, because that further connects us. 8, we can be peaceful inside regardless of what is happening outside. Despite the chaos in our lives, we can choose to be peaceful, knowing that we are connected and sustained by our loving, peaceful source. This reminds me of when I lived in California for the summer and I was in school. And there was a lot going on, friends, a lot. I had just been involved in that rollover accident. I was commuting over an hour, where I had to be on the road by 5:30 in the morning so that I wouldn't get stuck in 6 a.m. traffic. I did not know where I was going to stay permanently. I had no job, so no money coming in. I had limited money. Life was not looking so hot for me. And yet I knew that I was rooted in something bigger than myself. I knew that I had people rooting for me in my corner. And one of my friends, she's in that program as well, the post the pre-med post-bac program said, I admire you so much that you are able to do this so gracefully and with dignity. I didn't feel like I was doing it with grace and dignity, but I took the compliment. There's another line in a book that says that we'll be able to match calamity with serenity. And I love that. No matter what's going on, I can have a measure, a decorum of serenity. Number 9, we are students and teachers to each other. Peace comes to us when we recognize and demonstrate that all relationships are equal. My loving life coach helps me, and yet she says that I help her more than she helps me. I think that's debatable. I am a loving life coach to others, and they say the same thing. And the relationship is equal, friends. I don't share or speak from a spiritual high top. My loving life coach doesn't either. We're all teachers. Sometimes I look and I see that someone is teaching me what I want to be like. And then sometimes I'll see someone who's teaching me what I don't want to be like. And sometimes it's in the same person. I know that I've done things that I'm like, oh, high five, Shadima. And other times that I've been like, oh, what were you thinking? What happened there? And sometimes it's moment by moment. Number 10, we can focus on the whole of our lives rather than on the fragments. It is an illusion to believe that our lives are separate from each other. Healing is focusing on our interconnectedness with each other and all living things. So when I recognize that I am you and you are me, there are no others, there is no such thing as us versus them, I stay connected with you. Just like when I realize that you are a teacher and I'm a teacher and we're related and our relationships are equal. That's one of the things I love, love, love about Humans of New York, is that when I read stories of humanity, I can relate. Even if it's not my exact experience, I can relate. I went to my first Shabbat dinner. It was with several healthcare professionals at the Halal Center here at the University of Michigan. And so I sat next to one of the physician's wives and we were talking, and I asked her to explain the idea of kosher, keeping kosher, to me. I had a concept in my mind and I wasn't too far off, and so she expounded on that. And it was lovely. And what we realized, that even me with my faith perspective and her with hers, there's a lot that we agree on. So strive to see where you actually agree, so that when you get to the points of contention or disagreement, you're able to do so with love. Number 11, because love is eternal, death need not be viewed as fearful. We begin to let go of our fear of death when we truly believe that what is real never changes and that love is always present. If I know that God is love, then I do not have to experience any fear, especially with death and any beyond death experiences. Number 12, we can always see ourselves and others as extending love or giving a call for help. Rather than seeing anger and attack, it is always possible for us to recognize a call for help and to answer with love. So sometimes that person, that human sandpaper that is getting on your nerves, is really calling out for love. It's a call for help. They need help. The answer is love. You teach only love. Will you answer their call? In Teach Only Love, Jampolsky, that's the author, Gerald G. Jampolsky, MD, has once again given us a book of profound inspiration and spiritual elegance. And I love this because these are practical things that we can do. So what does this have to do with privilege? When I realize I have an interconnectedness, interdependence with you, then I'm in a different place. Then I'm able to activate my voice and realize, okay, who needs my help? And not in a savior, in a grandiose, in a prideful, ego-driven manner. No. In a humble way to say, okay, I can help. What would be helpful here? I read an amazing post and it was disheartening at the same time, where people were going to the protest for the North Dakota pipeline, access pipeline, and being very disrespectful in a multitude of ways. And so the author said, why don't you come humbly? If you're going to come, come humbly and ask, how can I be helpful? And do what it is that is being asked of you. We have a long way to go, friends. We have a long way to go, and yet I'm hopeful, hope rising, right? If I can just step outside of where I sit and look in my blind spot and recognize, right? Go back to that third party listening. Watch yourself in interaction. How do you come across? What is your body language conveying? What are your words conveying? What would people say or think in your presence or beyond your presence? All of this is important. All of this is important. So it's important to define privilege, right? And think about this concept of the podium of privilege. Sometimes you speak from the podium of privilege, and other times you come away from the podium and have a seat and join the circle of people around you. It all depends on what is actually going on. And so I love humanity. I think about it often, and I think about the suffering people are experiencing. All different people. All races, colors, creeds. And so I don't mean race, I mean colors. All different people from all over the world. And yet, people not only survive, they thrive. Why? All different reasons. It's a larger discussion. It's not a simple one word or one sentence answer. Privilege. What is it, right? And why do we care? What are you willing to do with your own privilege? It's a special right, advantage, or immunity granted or available only to a particular person or group of people. It's a significant honor, friends. What are you, what am I willing to do with it? And this is not that thing where we ignore it and it will go away, because it won't. If not now, when? The time is now. So I broke down last episode. So this is actually episode 6. If I said at the beginning of it that it was episode 5, that is incorrect. And this is episode 6. And in episode 5, I broke down as I was reading stories of humans of New York. I broke down because of humanity. I broke down because there's so much anger and pain and frustration and fear in the world that I would love to have us all work on dispelling. And sometimes those feelings reside within us. And that is our call for love. And that's why I need you and you need me. There are no others. When I call out and I reach out my hand, I want someone that is teaching only love to be on the other side. So this is a movement we start today. There's no time like the present. We love, we love, we love. So I'm going to end these chi casts for the most part with flipping through this gigantic coffee book I got for myself and one for my parents called Humans of New York Stories by Brandon Stanton. There's an Instagram page of the same name, Humans of NY. There's a Facebook page. So I'm just going to flip and do a couple stories and we'll end it. So there's a picture of two men and it says, "We're gay refugees from Iran." The next story, "My mom always left us alone and we never had any food in the house, so I only ate at school and we never had any electricity. So every night I had to do my homework in the hallway." "Do you remember the happiest moment of your life?" she's asked. "When I got my scholarship to Georgetown." And friends, I'm deliberately leaving out identifiers because I want you to just hear the words and not assign identities to people. "I just ate some West African land snails, so I'm happy." "I had a whole vision. I wasn't a pro, but I could film from different angles and stuff. I was going to have a whole YouTube channel with different kids doing rap battles. I worked really hard at it, but nobody except my friends ever looked at it, and all the adults in my life told me that I was wasting my time. So one day I got mad at life and started deleting, deleting, deleting until it was all gone." I'll end with these two. A woman's hands are photographed. "I'm always sad. Are there certain thoughts associated with the sadness?" "No, the sadness is under the thoughts. It's like when you're on a camping trip and it's really cold and you put on extra socks and an extra sweater, but you still can't get warm because the coldness is in your bones. Do you hope to get away from it?" "Not anymore. I just hope to come to peace with it." And finally, a child sitting on some stairs. "I don't understand my feelings. Sometimes I feel sad and I don't know why. Then sometimes I feel silly and I don't know why either. Now I feel wow because this is my very first interview." So that's a young girl. So, friends, what did we do with this? The choice is up to us. We decide how we want to take this information and live our lives. "I honor the place within you where the entire universe resides. I honor the place within you of love, of light, of truth, of peace. I honor the place within you where when you are in that place in you and I am in that place in me, there is only one of us. Namaste.